So we're just finishing off the chapter of Tariag Mitzvahs in the Arei Shor, second section, seventh perek, and he just adds one last point. Mitzvah miyuchedes nitana lanu lezecher kol ha-mitzvahs biyachad. Zui mitzvah tzitzis. There's one mitzvah which is unique in the sense that it reminds us of all the other mitzvahs. Just by the way, the Arei Shor has many other svarim as well. And one of the other svarim he has is called Mitzvot Shkulot, which is a whole mitzvah on all, a whole book on all the mitzvahs that it says about them that they are parallel to all the other mitzvot. And he had a special chavivus for that topic. He loved that topic because he says these are like the keys. These are the key entry points to Kol HaTorah Kula. So he wrote a whole book. It's in the library. A whole book called Mitzvot. It's not a big book. It's probably about a quarter of this. Mitzvot Shkulot, which goes through Hashkafic understandings of these main mitzvot, which the Chazal call equal to all the other mitzvot. That was just in brackets. So one of them is tzitzis, as the pasuk says, "V'haya lachem letzitzis uriisem mosov zachartem es komitzas Hashem vasisem mosam velo tzurat chari levavachem v'achari nechem ki rak al yedei kol ha-mitzvos beyachad mitgaber adam al shrirut alev hanetu'ah betiv'o." So this pasuk says, you will have the mitzvot, and you will see them, and you will remember all the mitzvot, and through that, you won't follow your heart and your eyes. So the Arei Shor says, listen to what it's saying here. It's saying, if you pick and choose mitzvot that you connect to, then you're choosing. Once you're choosing, you can also choose not to, right? Because it's all your choice. But once you see it as one unit, one organism, where you're following God's will, and you'll follow God's will in a way it's natural to you, and you'll also follow God's will where it's less natural to you, because you're following God's will, it's one unit. Then that helps you overcome shirut libo, being arbitrary in your service of God, just doing whatever comes your way. So the mitzvah of tzitzit is one, which represents the whole, and that's the example of the mitzvah which holds you back from being random in your avodat Hashem. Because once you see that there's one thing that represents the whole thing together, it's all one unit, then you're in it for good. It's like getting married. Like when you get married, you don't say, I'll take this aspect of the wife and not that aspect of the wife. When you get married, you're in for the good or for the bad. So then you're devoted. And then when days are hard, you say, okay, but we're going to work it through. Because I'm married to the whole person of who this is. You're devoted to the whole picture. So when you serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu, when you're willing to serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu, and you see the Avodat Hashem, it's not that I like Shabbos, I do Shabbos, and I don't like other mitzvahs, so I won't do it. No, it's I'm serving Hashem. I have a relationship. It's like with a wife, with Hashem. It's a whole unit. And I have a relationship with a whole person here. The whole Kaddish Baruch Hu. And therefore, where it's easy, it's easy. Where it's not easy, I'm going to push through. And that's what tzitzit represents. That's why Dafka in tzitzit, it says, tzitzis parallels all the mitzvot, helps you overcome the lev. Right, that's what it says. And through that, that will save you. You see the three sections? One, which represents the whole unit, which helps you from overcoming randomness, arbitrariness. Leman tizkeru v'asitem et kol mitzvotai v'hiyetem kadoshim relokechem. In order that you will remember, and you will do all of the mitzvot, and through that you will be holy to Hashem. Zohi hatachlit Hamitkabelet mikiyum kol mitzvot. If you see the mitzvot not as random, one unit and another unit, but rather you see them as a one entire unit, all serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu together. If that's the way you view it, what will come out of that? Kedusha. V'yitem kedushim elokechem. Once you view the mitzvot as kol mitzvotai, v'yitem kedushim. Asher rak az zochim liot merkavah elokei Yisrael. Shzui tachlit yitziat Mitzrayim, which is the whole goal of why we came out of Egypt, liot lechem lelokim, why HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out of Egypt to be God to us, liot zvukim bashkacha pratit koyamim. The Gemara says a harsh thing, but it says a very harsh thing, but it says that if you pick and choose mitzvot and you say, I like this mitzvah more than that mitzvah, it says that you're relating to HaKadosh Baruch Hu as if he's a prostitute. Which is a very, very harsh statement, like what does it even mean? But it's very clear now, because the example that it's giving there is something which you're not, no obligation to, no relationship with. It's just that when I feel like I want pleasure, then I do that. Chas v'shalom. So if a person has a relationship with a God like that as well, it's where a mitzvah speaks to me, then I'll connect to the mitzvah. If it doesn't speak to me, I won't connect to the mitzvah. Here, the Arei Shor is saying to us The way for you to have Kedusha, which is an elevated relationship with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, comes when you see it as a relationship. When you see it as one unit. When you see it as you're marrying God. You're not seeing it as, how kind of God to offer me these individual mitzvot that I can pick and choose the ones that I like to connect to and then I'll relate where I want to. No! I'm marrying, I'm in. There are some parts where it's easy and more natural, some where it's less, but I'm marrying Hashem. I'm in for the good and for the hard. I'm in for the whole picture. Only then will a person reach a level of Kedusha. Because then he's given himself over to Hashem. It's not just that he's choosing where he wants God to sort him. I remember I had a friend who was is it fair to say apikoros? I don't know. He was a very anti-religious individual. But anti, meaning he like wanted to prove anti. He went through hardships in his own life. He had a very anti-religious father and his mother died young. And so like he had a lot of kind of background coming into him. But he was very intelligent and we were good friends, not in the religious area, but in other things. But he liked to debate. He never let the debate get in the way of friendship. And if we needed a tenth man for a minion, he would come. Like he would come to the minion to help us make up a tenth man because he had a lot of kavod adam. He had a lot of respect. And so he said, I don't agree with it, but I'll be with you because you need me and I'll be there. And he had his own talis that he would bring. Like if we needed him for shachras, he would come and bring his own talis and put his talis on. And he would stand there. I don't think he would daven or not, but he would come and he was a very, very unique individual. So I remember once he said to me that he thinks that everything that I do for myself. And I said, I think what I do for God. He said, no, I think everything you do for yourself. He says, you have a need. Did I catch something important here? He says, you have a need, said to me, you have a need, this like need to connect to something higher, right? And you have no way of answering it. So instead of doing good in the world and like helping other people, you're just like making up a God. And then you have a God and now that answers your need. But really, it's all for you. So I said, I think that there is a God who wants us to connect to Him. So He made man have a need to connect to a higher force. And I'm being loyal and devoted to answer that need that Hashem planted within us to be connected to Him in a faithful, loyal way, as opposed to someone else who could take that same need and instead of channeling it towards God, he could use it for saving the dolphins or some other, you know, maybe important but not high value. So we ended as a teku on that topic. And he's still, I think, not religious today. And I ended up in yeshiva somehow. So it worked out well. Each of us followed the path that we wanted to follow from the beginning, and we interpreted everything we wanted to interpret in the way that suited us, and we ended up with... But it always was interesting to me, the topic that he said, because we both recognized the same koach. We both saw that man has a need to connect to a higher being. But I just understood that as part of God's will, and part of God's system that he made, and he saw that as a cop-out, as an excuse. His words were crutches. That was his words. He says, you're using God as a crutch. You have a need you need to fulfill and you make God the crutch. I said, no, God designed us in a way which was in order for us to connect to Him. It's not a crutch, it's the design. Well, I said to him, would you say if I'm hungry then eating is a crutch? Or you say, no, there's a basic need that man has and he has to be devoted to that. And therefore you eat because you're hungry. So if you have a desire to connect to a higher being, then that's a God built. He says, I don't believe in God. I said, that's the problem. Meaning, like, that's the starting point from both of us. It was very interesting. Why did I mention that? Oh, this is the whole point. So if your starting point is that you have a relationship with Hashem, then all the mitzvot fit into that whole, and then you develop a relationship. If you don't, then even the core of the calling for Hashem, you'll say that's something external. And even if that individual would keep all the mitzvot, but he wouldn't see them as one unit of serving God, it wouldn't bring him close to Hashem. He would say, in the same way as he was willing to come to a minyan because of kavod adam, like he was very respectful, if he would be willing to do all the other things separately, he would be a good, devoted, individual mitzvah keeper. But it wouldn't bring him a feeling of closeness to Hashem. Because he's not doing it in the unit of serving Hashem. But when you first have the basis of I'm serving God, and this is the context of what I'm doing, and then all the mitzvah fit into that, it brings you close to Hashem. And therefore, as a summary on the last line, dikduk b'mitzvah achat, the way you have to educate yourself in regarding to mitzvot is, take a particular mitzvah, and this is the mission that I shouted out the other day when we were up there by Beit Brian, which I'm still looking forward to receiving in a couple of days, everyone's unique mitzvah that they researched. Take one mitzvah, and on that mitzvah, be medaktik in it, be careful to make that your mitzvah, that you're more careful in than other mitzvot. B'li la'akel, don't be makel that mitzvah. Or b'li la'chmir, but don't be extreme and take on extra chrumas that aren't according to your level in that mitzvah either. V'simat lev, just I want you to pay attention. Lekayem kol ha'mitzvot kulan, mi'bli la'adif achat ha'chaver tashalo kadin. So that Ali Shor is taking us the two extremes and putting them together. He's saying on the one hand, I'm being very specific. On the other hand, I'm being very general. And only when you do them both, you'll be successful. On the one hand, I'm saying, take a particular mitzvah, learn the halachos of it, learn the details of it, the details matter. Don't be too machmir, don't be too makel, but be meir medayik. That's point number one. That's one extreme. On the other extreme, see it all as one unit. Recognize that the mitzvah is to bring you close to Hashem. There's a higher purpose to every mitzvah, which is you're following God's will. Now, if you take either of those extremes and you leave them as an extreme, you'll miss the boat totally. If you take this extreme and you say, I'm very medayik in the mitzvahs, and why are you doing it all? Because the Shulchan Aruch is my God. And I follow the Shulchan Aruch to the letter. And why do you do that? Because the Shulchan Aruch! You know when people don't know what they're talking about? When they shout. Right? And they say the same thing again. They say something and then you ask them why. And they go, because of the Shulchan Aruch! Meaning you don't know what you have to say, so you just say it again louder as if that's more clear. No, because it's the Shulchan Aruch, but why? Why do you have to follow the Shulchan Aruch? Right? It's not about just the details. So then you are makbir on that, you're meductic on that, but then you look at the other side and say there's a higher purpose. I'm doing it to connect to Hashem. Now, let's try and leave that side alone. And if you're just doing it to connect to Hashem, then who says you have to be medayik in the mitzvah? You don't have to be medayik. As long as in general you have a good heart, and in general you're coming close to God, and in general you're doing well. You know, in education, they say there's an 80-20 rule, which basically means that you have to give tochacha to your kids sometimes, right? And sometimes you can make mistakes, right? And you say things that were crushing them, right? Or undermining them. You're not supposed to do it, but it happens. But you just must make sure that you keep an 80-20 rule of positive to neutral negative. Neutral is also, like commands, like go to bed, is also in the 20%. And you have to have 80%. So if it happens that you say go to bed, which you know you have to say, you have to make sure that you've said at least four positive building statements to your child if you want them to grow up in a healthy way. Now, they may grow up in a healthy way even without that, but it won't be because of you. But if you want them to grow up in a healthy way, then you have to keep a ratio of 80 to 20, or you could say 4 to 1, right? Ratio, in order for them to grow up in a healthy way. So, you're allowed to make mistakes. It happens that you make mistakes. It's not the end of the world, right? But if you want them to have an overall good, healthy self-esteem, you have to make sure that you overwhelm. It's not like that with God. I mean, it is. You can make mistakes and you can fix it. But it's not like that you're allowed to say, okay, I can, you know, lachatchil, I can build into my system 20% of the time I don't care about avodat Hashem, as long as 80% I do. You can't do that with God. With God, maybe in action, I will make mistakes. But in vision, I'm fully devoted to Hashem. And I have to make sure that I'm holding on to both of these sides. On the one hand, I'm medaktik in halacha. I'm not just in general trying to be a good Jew. And as long as overall I'm giving my child good self-esteem, it's okay if I make mistakes. No, by God, I'm devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu all the way. If I make mistakes sometimes, I do tshuva on that. And that way it redeems it. But with diktuk of halacha, I'm medaktik in halacha. Very grounded, extremely grounded. When it comes to the vision, I have the vision. And you always need both of these. You know, people come to you with an issue. You have to see, to resolve the issue, you have to go in one of two ways. It's either down or it's up. Sometimes when they have an issue, that you have to go down. You have to say, well, let's look at your schedule. What do you do at this time? What do you do at that time? Let's work it out. And they go, oh, that's brilliant. I didn't think to use that time effectively. And what's your bedtime? And sometimes to help someone, you have to go down. And you get into the details. And by working out their exact schedule, this time, that time, oh, I never thought of that. You could use that time for learning. 6 till 6:45, that's part of the schedule. I never knew that was part of the schedule. Suddenly you discover a whole extra 45 minutes of learning Torah. Amazing, who thought? And by going down, you suddenly become great, right? See, that's going down. Sometimes, the opposite. Sometimes, a person is bogged down in why am I doing it all? What's it all about? And they have to take them up. Like, why are we Jewish? Why have we come to yeshiva? What's our mission? What's our vision? And you don't talk about details at all. You go up and you have to there's no one right way, but you have to read the person, or read yourself, and see, what do I need now? And it could be within you need both. Sometimes you need to be more practical and get more detailed. Sometimes you say, I'm too much in the details now, I need to have a recognition of why I'm even here. And you have to lift yourself up, and you have to have both those. And you have to have them both. It's not that one's right and one's wrong. You have to have both. That's regarding a person. In Avodat Hashem, it's in mitzvahs it's the same. On the one hand, with mitzvahs, you have to have the recognition of the details, halachas, actions, what I need to do, how do I do it, what's the halacha, what does the Shulchan Aruch say, what does the Mishnah Berurah say, detailed. At the same time, you all have to be holding on to, why do I keep halacha? What's my relationship with Hashem? How does it all fit in? The down and the up, if you have them both, you're balanced. Now, being balanced doesn't mean being in the middle. Being balanced means you're able to hold on to the low and you're able to hold on to the high. You're in both. You're in the details and you're in the vision. And that's someone who's well balanced. Someone who's well balanced is not someone who's mediocre. Someone who's well balanced has all the way here and all the way there, and he's holding on to both and he's well balanced. You see that? That's what balanced means. Balance doesn't mean I'm on the middle, right? If you're on a seesaw, right? It's not well balanced if you're just standing in the middle, because you're not in any movement. You know? That's not well balanced. Nothing happened. You just stood in the middle. It's well balanced when you have someone sitting on this side and someone sitting on this side. Or even if you can, if it turns out the sides, you have one leg over here and you have one leg over there, and you're able to get it even and get it into balance. That's well balanced. When you have the details and you have the vision and you're holding both of them, that's a well balanced individual. Standing in the middle just means you haven't taken any risks, you haven't looked into it, you haven't understood why you're doing that, you haven't understood why and you haven't understood what. You don't know either. Right? You're just kind of standing in a kind of a neutral, safe place because you don't want to move, because maybe you'll be obligated in something and have to grow. So you just stay in the middle. But being well balanced is when you know the what, which is the details, and you know the why, which is the vision, and you put your legs out, and then you're well balanced. Huge, important message. New chapter. Perek Shmini. Lekayem mitzvah b'shlemut. In order for you to do a mitzvah in a whole way, you don't have to know all the reasons why we do the mitzvah. We don't necessarily even ever know why we do the mitzvah. You certainly don't need to know the Arizal's deeper Kabbalistic reasons as to why we do the mitzvot. There's only one thing that you need. Liot yare mitzvah. To have respect and awe of the mitzvah. As the Pasuk says in Mishlei, Baz ledavar yechabel lo. If you are degrading a matter, Baz, if you're degrading a matter, it will harm you. V'yare mitzvah hu yishalem. But if you have awe of the mitzvah, you will perfect yourself. Yare mitzvah zocheh leshlemut. Having awe of the mitzvah is what grants a person a wholesomeness. And we're going to go into this topic. I just want to go back. I gave a mashal a while back in the name of Shimon Schwab. The idea of like the driving. Remember that one? The driving and the being at the traffic light. Right? The idea that being scared doesn't mean that you're nervous and trembling. Rather, it means that you have respect for the rules. And if you respect the rules of traffic, then you can be calm and safe because you're respecting the rules. And that's what yirah is. Yirah is when you have an awe and a respect for the matter that you're dealing with, and because of that, it doesn't make you a nervous wreck, rather it makes you able to genuinely appreciate what's going on, and that gives you a sense of calmness. So we'll come back there. Kol mitzvah hi begeder mikdash me'at. Every mitzvah is considered a mini beit hamikdash. Over mikdash nitztavenu lira min hamikdash me'od. This is a quote from the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos. You have to be very in awe of the beit hamikdash. Until we have to place in our hearts a sense of overwhelming awe. And that's the mitzvah of Yad Mikdash. It sounds like from here that you have to have fear or awe of the Mikdash itself, the Beit HaMikdash itself. Now let's look at the Gemara in Yevamos. Yechol yitiyare adam min HaMikdash. Are you really supposed to be scared of the building? You stand there, the building. I don't know what that means, but are you supposed to be scared of the building? You might think it means that there's a mitzvah. Yes, there's a mitzvah. Jews stand there by the building and say, I'm scared of you. And if you're not, then you convince yourself to be scared. Obviously not. What does it mean? Talmud lomar et shabbatotai tishmaru ved mikdashai tirau nemra shmira b'shabbat v'mora b'mikdash. Ma shmira ha'mora b'shabbat lo mishabbat atah mityare. Obviously, by Shabbos, you're not in awe of Shabbos, the time. Rather, you're in awe of God who gave you the mitzvah of Shabbos. Continues the Gemara in the beginning of Yevamos and says, Af moraha morah b'mikdash. So too, when it speaks about mora mikdash, lo mimikdash atah mityare. You're not in awe of the temple. I mean, you are, but The depth behind it is that you're not in awe of the building. Ela misha is here ala migdash. Hare yisod mora migdash hu misha is here ala migdash. Vizoya bechina shel migdash atzmo. So I just want to pause and say my own piece on this. The Gemara speaks about, in Daf Yomi just two weeks ago, about Rabbi Shimon HaMusani, who was darshaning every word et in the Torah. And when he got to et Hashem Elokech HaTirah, then he says, there's nothing you can add on to that, because the word et comes to include something. So what can you add on to fearing God? Nothing else. So he dropped the whole project. And then Rabbi Kiva picked it up and said, no, really, it's including Talmidei Chachamim. But there's a question on that, because what was the concern originally? The concern was there's nothing you can add to awe of Hashem. So when Rabbi Kiva picked it up and said, no, you can darshan, you can also fit Talmidei Chachamim. So is that an addition? Meaning, I have two fears in my life now. I have a fear of God and a fear of... I'll give you an example. When it says, Kabed et avicha ve et imecha, the word et there comes to include an older sibling. So that's two separate things. There's I have honor of my parents, and separately I have honor of my sibling. I'm a only child, I'm okay with that. But you know, for those who have older siblings, so it's two separate things, clearly, right? Parent and separately sibling. So when it comes to et Hashem Elokecha Tirah, is it on the one hand I fear God, and at the same time I separately have a fear of Talmid Chachamim? Is that what it means? That sounds strange, because then the original concern of Rabbi Shimon HaMusani is true, meaning how could there be something more than God that you fear? So the Maharsha explains beautifully, and he says that it's not a stira. Actually, what it's saying is that an extension and a way that you come to fear God is by fearing those who represent God in the world. Et Hashem Elokech HaTirah is not like Kabed et Avicha et Imecha, where it's something separate, or maybe even that's not something separate. That's like a way of honoring your parents, perhaps. Right? Rather, it's a way to... It doesn't say a separate mitzvah of fearing older sibling, right? It's part of, it's included in, but it's an et, so it's an extra, meaning it's a part of, an extra part of, an addendum to the main point. So, the way that you come to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu is through having fear of Talmud HaChamim. But what is it telling you, Be'etzem? It's that you're not fearing them. You're fearing them because you recognize they are your link and your chain to Hashem. That's the way that you come to Hashem. You see what we're saying? Sometimes you fear something in an independent manner, sometimes you fear it, or you have awe of it, because it's your link and your way to get to. So, when we speak here about the Beit HaMikdash, or Shabbos for that matter, we're not saying that you have to have awe of the Beit HaMikdash. It says you have to have awe of Hashem. So why even mention it in the Torah? It's a Mikdash Shai Tiral. Don't even mention the Pasuk. Just say, fear Hashem. Why do you have to go, have fear of the Beit HaMikdash? Oh, it doesn't mean the Beit HaMikdash, it means God, because He made the Mikdash. Okay, so just say I have to have fear of God. Why do I have to go buy the Beit HaMikdash? No, because it's saying to you, the way that you come to have awe of Hashem is through expressing it by having awe of the Beit HaMikdash. You hear that? How do you have awe of Hashem? You stand there, Hashem. What do you do? So He gives you the Beit HaMikdash, a tangible place where you can stand there and say, I have now a vision of where Hashem is expressed in the world. And now I have a way of expressing my awe towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu through this place where it happens. So now, what we're adding now is, and this is from the Rambam, is every mitzvah that you have is a mini Beit HaMikdash. And every mitzvah that you have is an expression of God's will. And when we say that you have to have awe of a mitzvah that you're coming to fulfill, it's not awe of doing the mitzvah correctly because I might break the law. Maybe it looks like that externally, but that's not what it is. It's not I have to be super careful that I don't make a mistake. It is that, but that's only an expression of I have awe of Hashem. And the way that I express that I have awe of Hashem is by being careful in the details of this particular mitzvah. But it's not the mitzvah by itself, it's Hashem. But how do I do it? I express it through being careful in the details of this mitzvah, knowing that God is the one who commanded it to me, knowing this is the will of Hashem that I'm doing, and it gives me a tangible way to show my awe of Hashem. Judaism is not a religion of disassociation. Where's God? I don't know how to associate to Him. He's out there somewhere, but I'll like try and connect to some being out of my realm. Judaism is a religion where Hashem, in a sense, constrained Himself, limited Himself, placed Himself in very tangible objects or actions that we can do. And the way that we connect to the infinite force is through these objects or these items or these actions. What, so we're limiting God to an action? No, it's the God's will behind that. That's what I'm connecting to. I'm not connecting to the lulav or the tzitzis, the tzvilin or the... I'm not connecting to that box. I'm connecting to this box represents God's will. And God's will is, you know, infinite. But it's expressed through doing this. Just like if you give, we gave in the mashallah last week, if you give a flower to a wife, it's not about the flower. The flower is irrelevant. It's irrelevant. But the message that it expresses of your relationship is infinite. But it has to be expressed in a way, a tangible way. So you give the particular flower. So to hear, regarding HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have Mora Mitzvah. We have a mitzvah of having awe of the mitzvot. It's not the mitzvot we have awe of. It's the relationship with Hashem, God's will in the world. How do we do that? How do we express it? God doesn't have a physical being. Through God's will being expressed, that's how we do it. One last paragraph. Tzurat HaMitzvah Hi HaYira. Meaning, there's two separate things. There's what you do and there's how you do it. Two separate things. There's going to be Maariv soon. And then afterwards there's going to be a meal. So in both of those, everyone knows what to do. Maariv, you stand at some point, you bow at some point, you sit at some point, you cover your eyes at some point. Everyone knows what to do. You say these words. Everyone knows the actions. That's one question. Eating, many people know how to do. Right? But there's a separate thing of what's your mindset towards it. Some people's mindset towards davening is a burden. Some people's mindset is a time to switch off. Some people's mindset is a recognition that I'm coming to stand before God. They're all in the same action, but there's a different mindset towards. So the mitzvah, the halachic details of the mitzvah, that you find in Shulchan Aruch. What's the mindset that one should have towards the mitzvah? What's the state that one should be in? That's yira, an awe. An awe that I'm connecting to Hashem through doing this. This is the will of God that I'm approaching now. So we'll pause now. We're about to go to Maariv, and everyone knows what to do in Maariv already. But a new thing that we're adding now, not a new thing, but a new focus, just to focus on right now, is as you come to stand before Baruch Hu, pause for a split second and just say, I'm aware that I'm standing before Hashem. I'm in awe of the fact that I have a tangible action, speech to do, that I can do now, which gives me a way to express my knowledge, my awareness, that I'm standing before Hashem. And then you will take davening much more seriously, because you're aware that this is your channel, your conduit of connecting to HaKadosh Baruch Hu.